You know, when you think about it, it is a miracle that I ever got married at all. Wayne and I had been dating for many months. He'd driven 2.5 hours to spend the weekend with me at my parents' house. He brought me roses from his mama's garden. We had taken a nice walk in the woods. And finally, for the very first time ever, Wayne said the words. He hugged me. He kissed me. He told me he loved me. And what did I say? I said, thank you. Months later, after flying me out for Thanksgiving with him in Salt Lake City, where Wayne was going to grad school, out there in the snow and with the aspens, when Wayne asked me to marry him, you think I had learned my lesson? You know what I said this time? Kim, will you marry me? And I said, I'll think about it. I'm so ashamed. I'll think about it. Obviously, ours was not one of those textbook courtships. If Wayne had some book he was using to help learn how to win and woo me, I'm certain after that he burned that book. Because we all know that thank you and I'll think about it were not the answers Wayne expected. That's not why he drove across the state. That's not why he flew me across the country. Thank you and I'll think about it are not what we want to hear when we tell someone we love them or offer our lives to them. So, you see, it really is nothing short of a miracle that Wayne ever stuck with me and kept loving me and kept telling me he loved me until the day I finally loved him back, until the day I finally told him yes. It really is a miracle that I ever got married at all. But thanks be to God that I did. Tonight, the topic of our message is justifying grace. And our texts are from the book of Acts and the book of Romans. From Acts 13, verses 38 and 39. My brothers and sisters, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. And from Romans 5, beginning in verse 1. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning we were reminded again that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. And God saw that it was good. People, in fact, God said were very good. But those first people sinned. Yet even though Adam and Eve disobeyed God, God's love was greater than their sin. That's still true today. You know, God's gifts of love and grace are greater than all of our wrong choices. Every one of them. You can't sin more than God can forgive. But because God created us in God's image and designed us for a loving relationship with God, nothing else can satisfy our souls. Not money or sex or power or food or drink or drug. We, like Adam and Eve before us, try many ways to satisfy ourselves, but we are insatiable until we are sated by God. Or as Augustine wrote, our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee. We're like wandering strangers, like pilgrims really, lost, alone, scared and starving, searching for a warm place to stay, a place to call home. And nothing feels like home but God. If I had to pick one single overarching theme in the Bible, I'd have to say that it is the story of God calling us back home. Like my daddy used to whistle for us when we were out playing, God the Father has so many ways of calling us back home, of inviting us again and again into the relationship for which we were created, the relationship with God. The Bible is a story of God loving us and telling us and showing us and wooing us all through the ages, waiting for us to respond in kind, generation by generation, not with a thank you, not with an I'll think about it, but with a yes. Yes, I love you too, God, and I want to be yours forever. Adam and Eve hid from God, but God wouldn't leave them hidden. God sought them and covered them and restored them. God remembered Noah even before the rain began. And God heard the cries of Israel from their bondage in Egypt. We can march through the Bible reading over and over of our God who calls us back home. Truly, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, just as God the Father has been doing since the beginning of time. Throughout his ministry, Jesus called people to accept the relationship God offers them. John 4 says Jesus had to go through Samaria, presumably to meet a weary, wounded woman at a well and invite her back home. Jesus invited himself into the home of Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus flung wide that door and let Jesus in. Jesus issued many open invitations to whosoever would come. Come to me, all of you, each of you, every one of you. Come to me if you're wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus sought as God has always sought. And even still today, God offers us a personal relationship of self-giving love, not a system of rules and regulations. God doesn't call us into a contract or some prenuptial agreement. God calls us into a relationship with shared bank accounts, shared dwellings, shared hearts and lives and fruit. God calls us into a relationship of love and grace and freedom. But let's be clear that God only calls, God only invites, God woos but does not coerce, God offers but does not force. Some say God is always the gentleman. We have a choice in the matter. How we respond is up to us, just like it was for Adam and Eve. God won't make us accept God's love and grace any more than Wayne would have made me say that I loved him or that I would marry him. God lets us choose. And that is perhaps the most terrifying power in the world. Not that we can say yes, but that we might not. Just as Wayne had been wooing and courting me for many long months in our relationship, so God has been wooing and courting each of us all of our lives. God offered love and grace to us before we ever realized it or appreciated it. God's grace has always been active in our lives, as something John Wesley calls God's prevenient grace. That love and grace that quite literally goes before our realizing that God loves us, goes before our accepting that God loves us, and goes before our deciding and being able to love God back. But when we do realize that God loves us, when we do accept that God loves us, when finally we do decide and are able to love God back, at that moment, justifying grace is at work. Justifying grace is what we experience the moment we finally say yes to the relationship God offers us in Christ. It's the first moment we say, I love you too, to the lifelong courtship with which God has wooed us. It's the moment we say, I do, and give our lives to God in a relationship of love and trust. For some of us, this happened when we were very young. Others of us may have been adults. Some wait till their earthly end is very near. But that moment that we first say yes to God, justifying grace is at work in our lives. And in that moment, in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. Our acceptance of God's offer of love changes everything. Our eternal future is different from that moment on. John Wesley likened the grace of God to a house, where the prevenient grace of God is like the porch. It's a place of shelter and connection, a place of welcome and warmth and gathering. It's an inviting place. And as we wander through our lives, homeless, lost, cold, and searching, even a porch is a welcome haven. But the entry into the house, the doorway, that represents justifying grace to Wesley. You're either in or out. In God's house, the door is always open, but we're the ones who have to step through it. God invites, we respond. And when we do, our hearts are no longer restless. For when we enter through that doorway of justifying grace, we realize we are home. Home at last. Home at last. Thank God Almighty. We are home at last. For me, that moment of justifying grace came as a college student. I wasn't raised in the church, but always had a strange attraction for spiritual things. My heart was restless, you see. And I was seeking and looking and questioning. Sometimes we kind of like to make fun of those Gideons who pass out Bibles, putting them in really odd places. And always they place the King James Bible, version of the Bible, the one that I still can't read. But one of those Gideons, who stood on a corner of our campus and passed out a little New Testament and Psalms to me, planted a seed that bore fruit. Because after months of struggling with that itty-bitty King James Bible, I had again returned to the book of Matthew. I was home for the weekend in my parents' house in the room of my childhood, reading late one night and reading Matthew at that moment. My heart was strangely warmed, or my eyes were suddenly opened, or the scales fell from them. However you want to describe it, I looked up from my reading because at that moment, the presence of the risen Christ was so strong. I could feel it. I sensed it. I looked up fully expecting to see Jesus standing in the room with me. And in that moment, I knew that Jesus was alive and the Bible was true and that God was and had always been everywhere all of my life, even with me at that moment in the room, alone, but never fully alone, never outside the reach of God's love. And after 20-some years of wooing and courting, after 20-some years of wandering through life and living on the porch of God's love, I finally entered the door into the house that had always been mine since the beginning of time. That moment was justifying grace, a beautiful gift of God. You see, it wasn't just Wayne I took a long time in answering. God courted me a lot longer than Wayne ever did or would have. But I am grateful for both of their patience. When we accept God's grace, we say yes to the one who has already said yes to us, the one who has been wooing us and pursuing us, desiring a relationship with us. Love has finally won, as it always does. Our yes marks the beginning of a lifelong commitment and a shared life. In Scripture, this spiritual experience of justifying grace is also known as salvation, healing, conversion, having one's sins forgiven, being born again or born from above. Whatever you call it, however you experience it, justifying grace is clearly seen in the cross of Christ. Jesus' sacrifice, in a moment, restored our relationship with God. Some say this is symbolized by the vertical arm of the cross. Christ also restored our relationship with each other, symbolized by the horizontal line in the cross. Ephesians 2:14 says, Christ himself is our peace. Jesus is our peace with God, our peace with each other, even our peace with ourselves. But while this salvation is instantaneous, we walk through that doorway in a moment, our salvation is also continuous because God is not finished with us yet. There was that first time I said, I love you, to Wayne. But that was not the only time I've ever said it. There was that first time we say yes to God. But we will spend the rest of eternity saying yes to God over and over again. Justifying grace is when we first say yes to God, but it's not the end of our salvation or the end of our saying yes to God. It's only the beginning. Salvation is a continuous process. So, it's correct to say, I was saved by grace. I am saved by grace. I will be saved by grace. The moment we experience justifying grace is simply the first of many yeses that we will say to God. And here's the really compelling part for me. As we experience this life-giving grace of God, we want to share that love with others. The first disciples gave their faith away to disciples who gave their faith away to disciples who gave their faith away. What we receive as a gracious gift from God, we pass on to whosoever will say yes to the God who has already said yes to us. Talk about a circle of life. That is beautiful, and we get to participate in that. Sharing our faith is a natural and faithful response to God's great love for us. So are the spiritual disciplines. As we pray and read scripture and study and serve and meditate and share in communion and worship together, we become more like Jesus, more as we were created to be, until we ourselves become living, breathing, walking, talking disciples of Jesus Christ. We ourselves become part of the wooing and the courting and the evidence to others of God's unending love. There is no better time of year to be thankful for God for his gift of justifying grace. No better time of year to be about the business of loving others into God's kingdom of grace. Almighty God, who lives and reigns forever, we give you thanks for all the gifts you have bestowed upon us. Amen.